All right, it's a very special weekend of baseball as we celebrate Jackie Robinson's debut in the major leagues of April 15th, 1947, a very special day in America and a special day in baseball as well. We bring in Bob Nightingale of USA Today, and Bobby, one of the top sports writers in the country. Jackie Robinson Day, you've been part of it before. What does Jackie Robinson Day mean to you?
That means absolutely everything. I mean, he's still the most historic figure in baseball history. And I think one of the most historic figures in the country's history, just, you know, what he meant, you know, by when he integrated baseball, you know, there's people like Don Newcomb will say that's a much bigger event in American history, you know, than Rosa Parks. You know, it was that monumental. I mean, without Jackie Robinson, you know, stepping and doing that, you know, who knows what baseball would look like today.
And for Jackie, it wasn't simple. He had a tryout with the Boston Red Sox, and Tom Yawkey and Eddie Collins and Joe Cronin turned their backs on him. Sam Jethro had a tryout, and Branch Rickey was the one who said, okay, we're going to make this happen. But it wouldn't have happened without Happy Chandler as well, saying the contract was okay.
Yeah, you know, and they had to have the right guy. I mean, you know, the people forget Jackie Robinson wasn't the best player in the Negro Leagues. Far from it. He was a good player, college educated. And they just wanted to make sure, let's find the right guy who handled it. I mean, it could have easily been Josh Gibson or Satchel Paige or someone else, but they wanted someone to say, okay, this guy can be the face of baseball. He's the guy to lead the way, and he can handle everything that comes his way. And sure enough, you know, kudos to, you know, Branch Rickey and everybody else for identifying Jackie Robinson, saying, you know what, we believe he can be strong enough to handle everything that happens.
Boy, a great moment in U.S. history. Of USA Today, Bob Nightingale is with us. Bob, baseball is challenged, though, to get African Americans into the game. Finally, we see the percentage just going up slightly this year. 68 African-Americans are on major league rosters. Some teams don't have any on there, which is amazing. Give me your thoughts about that.
Yeah, I think for too long, baseball, you know, just set excuses. Well, it's like it's a dull sport. Kids want to play football and basketball. You go to high schools, I mean, all the attention, you know, is going to be on a basketball game or football game. Just, you know, family and friends at the baseball games. And I think they just kind of sat back and watched it happen. You know, now at least they're trying to be proactive about it, you know, and they're writing about it a couple of years ago. I said, hey, there's something wrong in baseball. You know, where are the African-American pitchers and catchers? And pitchers and catchers make up half a roster. So if there's no black pitchers or catchers, you know, you're always going to have low numbers. So now they started this showcase with just a, you know, minority catchers and pitchers trying to, you know, make people aware, like, hey, if you play one of these positions, you got a shot to make the major leagues because it's a nobody wants to be a catcher, it seems like, and pitching, you know, everybody keeps expanding the rosters. I mean, it used to be 9 pitchers, and now there's, you know, 13, 14 per team. So, you know, with the draft, we're seeing, you know, more African-American being drafted now. That's helping. I think 75% of that 68 figure are 30 years or younger. So I think the percentage should start to go up. And I think, hey, with all the trouble in football now, you know, with 5 states having legislature, you're not allowed to play tackle football until you're at least 12. Baseball should take full advantage of that and saying, hey, you know, hey, mom and dad, have your kids play baseball. And who knows, maybe by the time they're allowed to play tackle football, they'll love baseball so much they'll forget about football.
Boy, very good. And last year in the draft, the top 2 picks, African-American. That's the first time that's happened in a long time. Bob Nightingale, USA Today with us. Bob, let's take a look at baseball in general, as long as we have you on here. You wrote about mental skills coaches being a very, very big part of the game today. The Giants have one in Bob Tewksbury. He just wrote a book on the mental side of the game. All of a sudden now, baseball is more cognizant of the mental side of the game and how it affects these young men day to day.
Yeah, and I think it's such a negative world out there, particularly now, Marty. I mean, you know, with social media, particularly Twitter and Facebook, it's just that everybody's so quick to just, you know, rip into people and condemn people. Guy has a couple of bad games. There's so much negativity, and I think these mental health coaches, mental strength coaches, you know, strengthen the mind, you know, bring back your confidence. And then they kind of tell guys, you know, do not even bother at Twitter. I was talking to Chris Bryant, the Cubs star in spring training. He says when the season starts, he takes Twitter off his phone. He goes, I'm not going to get anything out of this except for negativity. David Price, you know, stopped using Twitter. So it's almost like you need these mental skills coaches and stuff just to kind of remind these guys, hey, you wouldn't be in the big leagues unless you were a very talented player. You know, keep your mental skills just as strong as you would in the weight room.
Well, I always say baseball reflects U.S. history and U.S. culture, and the culture of the country now is to be involved more in the mental side of life and the mental side of everything. So I could see where they have it. 27 teams have the mental skills coaches. Only the Padres, Braves, and Royals don't have one. Bob, the other thing you wrote about this week, and as I say, it's nice to have Bob Nightingale, USA Today, with us, mound visits. They have gone down dramatically in the last year, but it hasn't really translated into that much of a pace of game, minutes taken off the game.
No, it was last year was historic high, 305, 3 hours, 5 minutes. Now we're looking at, you know, 301, so a little bit. The mound visits are way down. I mean, we're averaging about 3.5 mound visits in the game. It used to be over 7. Some teams average over 16. The Boston Yankees and Red Sox. MLB doesn't say who, but, you know, I'm sure St. Louis Cardinals had a lot with Yadier Molina. So at least that part has picked up the pace where, hey, if a guy's in trouble, he's standing out there alone, just like you would be at the free throw line or just, you know, fourth and goal, you know, from the 4-yard line, that sort of thing. So I think that adds drama. The only negative thing about it is with the weather being so cold everywhere, it's like, you know, guys sometimes, you know, need a little bit more time, you know, warming up between pitches and stuff like that. What if a coach comes to mound just to kind of give a guy a breather because it's so cold out there? And the one thing also, as David Price pointed out, is that you have a lot more mix-ups. So, you know, when there's a runner on second base, everybody's changing their signs and everything else. You know, now they're not doing that. So some of these umpires are getting hit because the catcher's getting crossed up.
Boy, we saw one the other night with Hunter Wendelstedt. That's a great point, a great point. You see more cross-ups, and then all of a sudden the ump gets whacked in the mask like Hunter Wendelstedt did. We saw it the other night. Well, Bob, it's great to have you on and to take the time on a very historic weekend of April 15th that celebrates Jackie Robinson. And when you were growing up, do you remember in any way how you first heard about Jackie Robinson and what you thought of Jackie Robinson when you first realized who he was?
You know, I don't, Marty. I didn't really. Then I started reading as much as I could about him later on, but I certainly wasn't aware of, you know, knew the name, but the historical significance and everything else. You know, you knew about Willie Mays and Hank Aaron and everybody else, but you really didn't know, hey, who was the first black player? Hey, you're really not even thinking about, you know, you figured, you know, it had to happen in 1910s or 1920s. So it wasn't until later in life. And then, you know, talking to, we were talking Branch Rickey's son, you know, just a fabulous guy in the family, just what, you know, how the decision went through it, getting on the Jackie Robinson family. And, you know, I mean, he died so early, Marty. What did he die? Like 51, 52. You know, all that stress and pressure, I think that's what caused a premature death. It, you know, it wasn't the health reasons. I think he just took on so, so much. And, you know, if you look at his wife today, I mean, Rachel's, what, 94, 95 years old. Her husband died over 40 years ago. It's, you know, mind-boggling, you know, just what he had to go through.
Boy, I'm so glad that you could be on, and that's why we remember April 15th, and that's why we do this. And, Bob, you hit it well. Thanks so much, as always. I look forward to seeing you out here in San Francisco.
My pleasure. Thank you so much, Marty.
All right, that is Bob Nightingale, USA Today. More coming up, KNBR 680, the sports leader.